Let me remind listeners that you're tuned into the Michael Slate Show, and we're talking today with Andy Z, who is the spokesperson for the New York City Revolution Books, and he's also one of the initiators of RefuseFascism.org, and P.Z. Myers, biologist and associate professor at the University of Minnesota, Morris, and the author of the blog Ferengo. He's also one of the other initiators of Refuse Fascism, and the whole event that's been called No, in the Name of Humanity, We Refuse to Accept the Fascist America, and that event is calling for a month of resistance beginning on December 19th, reaching a crescendo by January 20th, 2017 inauguration. Right before we get into it, I know you're really chomping at the bit to talk about what the plans are and stuff, but I wanted to ask a couple more questions because there's also some things that I've been reading where, you know, in sort of countercurrents that are out there, and it's not directly, it's not in response to this, but it's actually, there's these countercurrents among the people that are out there, and a lot of, sometimes very progressive people who are arguing, well, we can rely on checks and balances. We really don't have to worry. We can rely on making him a one-term president. We can do, you know, all these kinds of things that they might look at in another time and say, you could say, well, okay, whatever, whether you think they'd work or they won't work, or they're useless or not. You could say, okay, there's something different here now, though, something very different. A situation like this has not existed in this country before, I don't think. So let's talk about that a little bit, this thing of people's sort of looking for ways short of this or stating that, you know, really pushing out ways short of it. Like one guy, one constitutional rights lawyer said, I can't remember what piece, but he said, well, I'm not that worried because, after all, I will be in the courts taking him on each time he violates the Constitution. You know, so let's talk about what these other solutions, and then we'll get into the solution that you're talking about.
Yeah, we've been hearing this throughout the election. First we heard there's no way he can get elected. That was, you know, I thought that was true too. And then we heard, well, he's been elected, but he won't be as bad as he said he would be. And what we're seeing in the recent appointments is that he's going to be worse than he ever promised to be. So it's definitely past time that we stopped deluding ourselves and started taking this guy seriously. And taking him seriously means recognizing that, yes, he is an incipient fascist who's going to be doing horrible things to the country, and there's no, and we have to do something now to stop him.
Mm-hmm. Andy?
Yeah, I really agree with that. You know, you've got to actually look at even the... look. Well, the essence of his illegitimacy is the program that he will implement, and he's shown he's got the people who want to do it, and he's got a mass movement. I mean, they were just, you know, I think it was in Michigan the other day, you had the whole crowd chanting, lock her up. They're still talking about jailing Hillary Clinton. And not that I'm a supporter of Hillary Clinton, but you get a sense when they're willing to actually jail and threaten to actually assassinate a leader of the other major party, then you know this is serious stuff. And, talking about 2018 at this point, or 2020, when you have a party that, first off, they closed hundreds of polling places across the country through ripping up a lot of the Voting Rights Act. They've redistricted, and give you one sense about how serious these people are. In an election they actually contested but then lost in North Carolina, they've basically, in the last couple of days, the legislature in North Carolina have basically reduced the governorship to a ceremonial position. These people will not make it possible for you to have any kind of semblance of having any say-so in 2018. Plus, they're going to pack the Supreme Court. So our lawyer friends have got to understand that, and they're going to pack every other court because there's tremendous number of vacancies, because these people have been serious about one thing. They have been driven to develop, they have a different idea of what this country should be. And while I, in my own opinion, have from Spokesperson Revolution Books, an opinion on this country, a very strong opinion that it's past its time and we can do something far better. But right now we have to take a very sharp look at that these people are going to, and this regime will rip up the norms, the political norms, the social norms, the cultural norms of this society, and they're going to do it. They're going to start. Yes, they'll run into some obstacles, but they will steamroll through that. This is a serious thing, and so in that sense, I completely agree with TZ. People have to cast away the illusions. That said, I think if we put forward a bold plan that could actually derail this, then that can involve many of those people to take part in this thing, even as they may hold on to, and most of them probably will hold on to, various illusions that they can do things if he does take power. But they, I think we can inspire them to give this a shot. And I think we do have to wage struggle with people who stand in the way of this, but I think we should actually involve a lot of these people who maybe hold out that it would not be as bad as it as they think, to get out in the streets now and stop it before it starts. And mm-hmm. and the more they get out there, I think the more they will see the veracity, the truth of what we are actually putting forward as the only way to really stop this and to prevent it. And yes, what we're proposing, look, is hard. It's never been done. It's a long shot. We know that. But the one thing that is sure, that if we don't do this, it's going to be really, really bad. And that's not going to be a future that anybody should be passive in the face of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would also add that one of our problems is that basically the Democratic Party and the media are colluding with this. You know, not openly saying, yeah, we're all in favor of this. They're instead saying, you know, we have to get along with these people. We have to work with them. We have to support him because he is our president. And yet, at the same time, the other side is happily, as Andy says, tearing up all the norms and just throwing everything out the window and show no signs of limiting their actions. So it's kind of, you know, we've got the ineffectual party against the theocratic fascist party. And we've got to get some spine into the people who need to oppose these guys.
Which brings us back to the No, in the Name of Humanity, We Refuse to Accept the Fascist America campaign, where it's being argued that the time now is the time for nationwide upheaval to create the kind of situation that would actually stop this, as Andy was saying and you were saying earlier. Let's talk about that. What are the plans in this campaign?
Well, people can go to the website, refusefascism.org, and see the actual plan. That's now, we're in the process of fleshing it out. We're discussing things, but the essence of the plan is to get in a position that by the middle of January, that there start to be the kinds of protests, which I'm going to talk about what should come before it, but by the middle of January, you are starting to see protests in cities that have the character of people staying and not leaving. There'll be some protests that will simply be candlelight vigils every night. There'll be other protests that will be different kinds of manifestations, schools, hospitals, workplaces. But there has to be a situation where it's starting to be on the agenda that thousands of people are gathering and refusing to leave till this regime is driven from power. Then by MLK weekend, which is the weekend of the 14th and 16th, that's the point we are advocating, that millions of people need to start coming into Washington, D.C. and cities across the country and refusing to leave and building up their power, so that by the time that there's a scheduled inauguration, there are voices in the powers that be that say, wait a second, that they see a political crisis looming is such that they find another solution to this and render this actually illegal or illegitimate, whatever they come up with. But people should be thinking about things like some of the actions that happened around Black Lives Matter and Occupy, but even more what's just transpired, you know, not the substance of it, in South Korea or Tahrir Square or movements in other countries at other times when people have taken in their millions and millions to the streets and refused to leave until there was a change. We can't, look, TZ just made this point. We can't, any reliance on the established political process. Obama has told you that we should wish him success, that it was an intramural skirmish. We're all on the same team. Bernie Sanders says we should work with him where we can work with him. No, you actually have to stop this. And so people have to recognize that you can't go at this from within the established political process, but you have to basically work outside of it and in many ways against that process right now to be able to force a change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the basic thrust of the plan. Now, to start, I don't mean to monopolize the conversation, but what we've been talking about here is this meeting in New York, replicated around the country, followed by we want to have a letter that goes out, and people are working on this. Some clergy or religious forces are working on a letter so that first day of Hanukkah, Christmas, and those of us who are atheists will find our communities. But on that holiday spirit, to be have people act consistent with their values, to refuse this regime. Then New Year's Eve, there should be demonstrations everywhere that the news that year is this is not a year to celebrate, but a year of struggle to stop this. And then the following week, we're hoping that there could be political protests around a variety of the issues encompassed by this regime, and, you know, people around different topics and things like that. Big push on the campuses that are open. And then on MLK weekend, there should be a lot of protests specifically targeting what he's planning to do around black people in particular, but also other minorities, national minorities, and maybe soon to be majorities, but the oppression of different peoples and stuff, then culminating in this last week of refusing to leave. That's in broad sketches. We are still just starting our conversation, even among those of us who initiated, about all the specifics of the plans. We need a lot more people throwing in on this right now, and we're not intending to organize everything ourselves, far from it. We're actually putting forward a vision and asking every organization, every group, every individual to get out there and act in a way that will actually stop this.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that, too, that what we've got to do is get existing organizations to sign on and work with us. So, like, for instance, one sign that I find hopeful is there's an organization called Defend Science, which formed under the George W. Bush regime, because, as you may recall, Bush was pretty horrible on science, and he was proposing all kinds of nonsense and limiting science and just being, you know, anti-science in general. And now Defend Science has stepped forward and said that they also support this month of resistance. So getting organizations like that where we have special interests to sign on and say, yeah, we agree that, for instance, this guy is going to be terribly anti-science, and so for our own personal self-interest, we have to fight back. We can build a movement that's got many building blocks that are working together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's extreme. Go ahead.
Michael, can I just cut in there?
Yeah, sure.
I just think this question of science is very, very, very important right now. We have, you know, just trying to get a list here of the initiators. Even our first list includes not only P.Z. Myers, but Niles Eldridge. It includes Michael A. Wood, Jr. You know, these are the three of them are all very established scientists, and there's been very important protests by scientists. And yes, there's the self-interest of the science, but a society that isn't based on the truth and objective reality and on science is a society that's headed for a cataclysm, especially in this era of global warming, not to mention the reproductive and basic rights of women in society. This is a person who, you know, who wants to criminalize abortion. This is a person who says the jury is out, essentially, on whether or not humans have anything to do with, or even whether there is global warming. This is serious stuff, that the fate of all of humanity hangs in the balance. And maybe PC could just say something about the importance of that. I mean, he writes about this all the time on his blog, the importance of actual truth and scientific method. This is at stake. This is
absolutely.
You know, one of the things many of the climate scientists are terrified about is, you know, he's appointed a climate science denier to head everything, and scientists have started putting out these calls, you know, we need to back up all our data quickly before Trump comes in and has it erased or sequestered or lost to us. And that's remarkable. I have never heard that sort of thing from any scientist until this moment, when suddenly we're feeling that not only is our support for science in question, but the actual data we've generated is in peril.
Boy. You know,
also, scientists in the government, hasn't there been a refusal among people doing work
on change
to refuse to turn over their names?
That was
already been demanded by an administration that's not in power.
Yeah, was that the technical workers that refused to do that?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I thought it was people who worked might have worked on the Paris Accords or various.
Oh yeah. That was that was part of it. Yeah, but there was another factory or something. There was another grouping of people of that refused to actually take part in what the Trump regime was actually insisting that they do. You know, one of the things I wanted to say though is I just have to say, this situation that we're living in right now is unprecedented in a certain sense in this country, where you're standing on this precipice like this, and where there's the kinds of broad sentiment in society. There's also a lot of people trying to figure out what the hell's going on, and then there's this huge broad sentiment of this fascist, these fascist hangers-on and, stalwarts and all this stuff, and that this thing that's shaping up in the midst of this. What has been proposed here and what is taking shape, what is going to take shape with this campaign is itself entirely unprecedented on a whole lot of levels, and I think is extremely important for people to get. This is a chance where we actually have an opportunity to stand up and change the course of history in a way that has an impact. It's not just a saying to say that in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept the fascist America. That's actually what it is, and that's something people really have to get in terms of seeing what's going on and figuring out how are they going to take part in this? How are they going to be part of this and not be standing on the sidelines?
Well, you're right, Michael. This is I think people look. There's 5 weeks to this inauguration. There are many schools are closed during this period. I think it's time for students and the professors and others of us who influence students to say, change your plans for winter break and throw your whole soul and heart and mind into fighting this now. Don't wait to see. I think we have to talk to people who are, of that 60s generation, who maybe are not quite as tied down with work as before. Donate the next 5 weeks to doing everything you can to activating your community, to writing about it. Come to New York and staff the national office or form offices in your own town. This is a time when we should have a vision of what it would be if there was, hundreds of thousands and then millions of people in the streets where people and in the public square and not leaving, where every night a new 200,000, 300,000 people came out with candles, some with marches, some with even more determination. And every city was beginning to be, this is what was happening. If you remember, right after the non-indictment of the policeman in Ferguson, Missouri, and then of in here in New York when Eric Garner was choked to death, the nights afterwards, there was between 5,000 and 10,000 people marching almost every night in different cities. Take that and multiply it by 10 and then 100. And not just the kinds of young people who want to run through the streets, which is very important, we need that, but also people who just want to go out and stand and say, I will not be moved. I will not be moved. I'm going to stand on the water, as Bob Dylan said, to stand on the ocean and a hard rain's going to fall. We need this kind of thing where, imagine millions of people doing this and then tens of millions, and what kind of crisis that would create. And that's what we're talking about. And it can't just be a symbolic demonstration on inaugural day. I'm sorry, that's part of it, but if it isn't something where people have said, we will not live under this, then that's the vision here, and it's unprecedented in many ways in this country, but it is not impossible. The sentiment is there, the people are there, there's a basic vision and plan, so then people have to get organized and get busy and do it.
Mm-hmm. All it takes is will, and that's what we need now, is for people to do this. I mean, this is my holiday, right? I'm supposed to be taking it easy with my family in these coming weeks, and that was my plan until last week when I talked to Sansara Taylor, and now all of a sudden I'm flying to New York this weekend, and that's because I am terrified and I don't want to someday talk to my grandchildren who ask me, what did I do when this happened, and say, well, I didn't do anything. It's time to fight back.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Very good. I want to thank you guys both for joining us today. And once again, Andy, can you give the rundown of what's actually going to happen right now?
Yes. Okay. So on Monday, the 19th, at Cooper Union in New York. It's just been announced there's going to be an emergency mass organizing meeting to stop the Trump regime before it starts, you know, to prevent the Trump-Pence regime from taking power before it starts. It's important to point out it's prevent Trump and Pence. And there'll be we're just forming a speakers list, but it will include Carl Dix, who is from the Revolutionary Communist Party and an initiator of Fused Fascism, and he and Cornel West started the Mass Incarceration Network. It will involve Immortal Technique, who's a hip-hop artist and urban activist focused on global politics. P.Z. Myers will be there, and he's been announced. He's at the University of Minnesota, Morris. Jeremy Scahill, who is the founding senior editor of The Intercept, and he's the author of Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army, and he's done some very important work on Pence and the connections to Prince, who's the head of Blackwater, such as it was. I will be, I believe, moderating this, and there are other people that we are collecting names of and people who will be part of this. But most of all, we need lots and lots of people there who want to become organizers of the organizers, who then themselves become organizers. It will be live streamed from refusefascism.org, and I believe also we're working with to have it live streamed on Huffington Post and possibly Deep Dish. These are all things in process right now. So people will be able to watch it all over the country. And then right after this, there will be similar programs in different cities and towns across the country. And so it has to be a movement that is mushrooming day by day throughout the holidays. People should right away get this call, go to the website, sign the call, donate money so we can publish it as a full-page ad in the New York Times and on all kinds of websites over the next weeks. Hold meetings with your family, salons, raise funds, get your friends, get the people at your workplace to do things. There's lots to do. The arts, there should be shutdowns of shows and new shows, and, you know, I say shutdowns of shows. I mean, maybe a silent moment at shows or people coming out on the stage and saying that they are going to be doing this in January. So it's just, there's plenty for people to do, and we want to let the imagination of millions of people get involved in this with a determination to stop it. And TV said before, let it not be said that you did nothing when you had a chance to do something to stop what could be a real horror for humanity.
Mm-hmm, definitely. All right, Andy, PZ, thank you very much.
Thank you.